It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, HBO and CBS are going to begin providing their content for a fee online. So what does that mean for cable companies?
First, worshipped by the ancient Aztecs and revered by the Mayans, the jaguar remains a mysterious and elusive creature even today. Yet that elusiveness may be part of the reason it's managed to survive.
In the 60s and 70s, these big cats had a tough time of it after Jackie Kennedy famously posed in a spotted fur coat. Women went so wild for jaguar fur that over 18,000 jaguar skins were exported from Central and South America. So what brought them back from the brink of extinction, and what will help them survive into the future?
Alan Rabinowitz is with us now. He's a zoologist, conservationist, and the president and CEO of Panthera, a nonprofit organization devoted to protecting the world's 36 wildcat species. His new book is called An Indomitable Beast, The Remarkable Journey of the Jaguar. Alan, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
When you were a child, you had an almost mystical experience with a jaguar in a zoo, and it's shaped who you became and your work as a conservationist working with jaguars. What's so special to you about the jaguar?
Well, the jaguar is an animal that's been really close to me through my entire life. As you said, when I was a child, I was born with a debilitating stutter. I couldn't speak at all. And the public school systems at that time classified me as handicapped, put me in special classes, what the kids called the retarded classes. But I could speak to animals. And the animal that I ended up growing closest to as a young man and throughout my childhood was a lone jaguar at the Bronx Zoo, where my father would take me when I would have bad days or bad weeks at school. And I ended up growing extremely, that jaguar was my outlet as a human being. While the adults thought I was broken, the animals listened to me. Now, I never imagined as a young person what my life would be later on, but I did realize that these animals helped me, and I promised as a young person that if I ever was able to get my voice, which I really didn't know if I ever would, that I would try to be their voice so that people didn't mistreat them or kill them or abuse them simply because they didn't have a human voice either.
And you've gone on to make good on that promise. You've devoted your life to the conservation of jaguars. And some of the new things that we've learned about jaguars have come from you, the corridors that we'll be talking about in a minute. And there's some interesting history here as well. Anthropologists found a symbol on ancient Mayan ruins that they believe refer to a jaguar essence. So what is it about jaguars that makes them so mysterious?
Well, that's really hard to put into words, but it's something that I've been seeking now for the last 30 years as I've studied jaguars in the jungle since the early 1980s, late 1970s. At first, my only mandate working for the Bronx Zoo, for the New York Zoological Society, was to get data on jaguars, figure out how they lived, and maybe use that science to set up reserves and protect them. But as I studied them more and more, and as I watched them, and especially as I went on to study other cats like tigers and leopards and mountain lions, I realized over the decades that there was something different. Big cats have a lot of things in common, but there was something different about jaguars. And I could only encapsulate it with the word jaguarness. As I started to go back and investigate what the ancient people, such as the Maya and Aztecs and Inca who lived with the jaguar thought, I realized that some new revelations about their writings and their pictures also implied this special feature in these animals, this jaguarness, which is what they tried to emulate.
What are the biggest threats to jaguars today?
The biggest threats to jaguars, unfortunately, are the same as to all the big cats. It's killing of the jaguars themselves, whether it's out of fear or because people perceive them as a cattle killer or just for their skins, and it's also the killing of the jaguar's prey. A lot of local people hunt the deer and the peccaries and all the other animals that the jaguars need to live on. Thirdly, it's loss of habitat. But frankly, we've been able over the decades through parks and reserves to control loss of habitat at a certain point. What we've been unable to control is the killing of jaguars and the killing of other animals that the jaguars need.
Now, you've established the world's first jaguar sanctuary in Belize. At least you were a big catalyst in that happening. But you've also learned that establishing these isolated reserves isn't the sole answer to helping the jaguar survive. What does a jaguar need to thrive?
Well, once I went back to the origin of jaguars, it was made a lot clearer to me, because the reason jaguars survive today, when most of the other large-bodied cats that they evolved with during the Pleistocene and before have gone extinct, is their ability to move, their ability in response to things like climate change, like any kind of massive environmental perturbations, which happened many times drastically during the Pleistocene ice ages. What the jaguars did at the time, the European jaguar, is it moved. It just kept on going. It never went back. It would just keep on moving forward, trying to find new areas and new places to live. That's why even when the European jaguar went extinct during one of these ice ages, the jaguar still survived, because by that time it had moved already through what I call the Pleistocene corridor over into North America, and eventually evolved into the Pleistocene jaguar of North America and the modern day jaguar. This ability, this need really to move over large distances, not only is what has made this animal so versatile, so resilient, so indomitable, but it's a key characteristic of its survival.
And that's something you're actively working with now. You're trying to establish these cultural corridors and sort of these corridors for the jaguars to be able to move from place to place to keep going, is one of the ways that they've survived so far. Which countries are you trying to include?
Well, it's all of the jaguars currently roam throughout 18 countries, from Mexico through northern Argentina. For both the jaguar corridor, which is a series of land connections that the jaguar moves through, I'm not only talking about good forest. What we ended up learning after decades of work was that there was a jaguar corridor. I didn't make that jaguar corridor. No one made that. The animal made it itself. Even with all the developments, the Panama Canal, roads and bridges, the jaguars still were finding their way through these areas. They swim the Panama Canal. They go over roads and bridges. They find their way from one protected area to another, maintaining the genetic integrity of the species. And that was a major discovery, to find that out, because it changed how we think about jaguar conservation and how we should think about any large animal conservation. But also what I found out was that the jaguar cultural corridor, the way different people who lived with this animal were linked intellectually and spiritually with this animal of their ancestors and that still roamed their lands, the jaguar cultural corridor still existed. While some of the beliefs weren't like the ancient Mayas anymore, where they believed a jaguar to be a semi-god or protector of the underworld, the current people in Mexico and Costa Rica and Panama, they still feel a strong affinity with the jaguar. Those who have lost it feel that something has gone from their lives. Those who still have it feel that while it's only an animal, not a god, it definitely adds strength to their culture and to their lives. This is a major thing that we need to learn, that animals like jaguars help our lives. We don't keep them alive just for our own pleasure. They're actually helping us in our own well-being.
You're obviously still hard at work at this to help the jaguars, still working on conservation and forging relationships between the jaguars and the people and looking at those connections. But do you feel like you've fulfilled your promise that you made as a child to help them?
I, f- I feel like I haven't gone back on my promise. People ask me if I'm proud of what I've accomplished, if I ever get a chance to relax. I never think about that. All I think about is that I'll be doing this till the day I die. That this is what my passion is. Yes, I've not forgotten my promise. Have I feel like I've fulfilled it? No, not yet. I'll never have fulfilled it. I need others. I will pass through this life happily if I know that there are now young people and other people who are carrying on this fight, giving animals a voice. We need to give them their own voice.
Alan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
We've been speaking with Alan Rabinowitz, zoologist, conservationist, and the president and CEO of Panthera, a nonprofit organization devoting to protecting the world's 36 wildcat species. His new book is called An Indomitable Beast, The Remarkable Journey of the Jaguar.